Shall we pray again? Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again for the time, O God, that we can come together as your people who realize, O God, that we need you every day of our lives. Father, we thank you for this year. Lord, it's time really flies, O God. We are standing in the last Sunday of this year, O God, and we pray as time flies by. Lord, we pray that we'll always be reminded of your love. Be sensitive to your prompting, O God. Help us to lean on to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning. You know, many a times whenever I look at the scriptures, I tend to ask this question. And the question is, you know, why does God seem to ask a lot of questions? If you realize, right, in Genesis, God is asking Adam, where are you? Right? And then he was looking at Cain and said, you know, Cain, where's your brother? You know, every time I read that, I ask myself, why is God asking such questions? Right? Why is he asking such questions? Right? And he says during Isaiah's time, right, who will go for me? Whom shall I send? Right? At the same time, when you look at Jesus' life and in his ministry, he's always asking questions. What do you want me to do for you? You know, the more I read questions of this nature, I ask myself, you know, does it mean that God does not know? Right? He's a God who knows everything. But why is God asking such questions, right? Does it mean that, you know, he doesn't know me at all? Because if I read Psalm 139, verse 2, it says, God, if you turn to your passage, you can read once 39, Psalm verse 2, it says, from a distance, the Lord knows my thoughts, right, from far. In other words, the Lord knows my thoughts even before any word comes from my mouth. The Lord knows what I'm going to say. Can you imagine this God who knows everything about me? He knows what I'm going to do tomorrow, not only today, but tomorrow, the following year. But he's still asking me a question, right? And so I tend to ask myself, and I'm really fascinated, because the more I ask, I realize, the more I see, this God is a very relational God. Not that he doesn't know about us, right? But he wants to have a relationship with us. He wants to know what's happening in my heart, what's happening in my life, right? What's happening in the things that I'm trying to do. He's a very relational God. We ask questions because we do not know. We want answers. We need information, right? We want God to enlighten us. But God is asking, not that he doesn't know about us, but he wants to have a relationship with us. He wants to know us. He wants to help us. He wants to guide us. I think that's the way I see scriptures, my friend, when I see God asking questions. When I was looking at all these things, I was asking myself and also comparing with today's passage. I think God is also asking questions, not only to me, but I think to each and every one of us. Questions of this nature, right? When you look at this passage, it says, it's a passage that talks about, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Right? I think all of us know, if you have read, it's comes through the Sermon on the Mount time, right? And then the eye and all that kind of a thing. So I believe God is asking me and asking each and every one of us who's seated here, what do you value most? When Jesus was talking to us, do not lay up treasures in earth, I think he's asking that question. What do you value most? And I believe this is what God is asking us today. What do you value most this year? I think when we started this year, or even the end of last year, we were telling ourselves, this is what I want to do this coming year. This is what I want to achieve in my coming year. My resolutions, my desires. And so I believe God is asking us even today, what do you value most, or what is most important to you? What is most important to you? For a moment, I think when I was preparing the sermon, right, I believe God was also asking me this question. What do I value most this year? What is most important to me? I think each and every one of us, if we tend to answer this, it will tell us who we are, right? It will tell us who we are in our desires, the things that actually drives us, right? In our motives, in what we are living for. Let's continue looking at, when you look at the passage today, it's a passage that talks about money. I'm not saying that I don't like money, right? All of us, right? If you go into your ATM and there's a lot of money, I think you will all rejoice and you will say, hooray. Very interesting, Jesus talks about money. And if you look at the passage, I was looking at this article, right, by this man. He says, Jesus talked much about money. Can you imagine? 16 of the 38 parables were concerned with how to handle money. What is 16 out of 38? Quite a lot, right? In the Gospels, an amazing one out of 10 verses deal directly with the subject of money. Right? The Bible offers 500 verses on prayer, less than 500 verses on faith, but more than 2,000 verses on money and possessions. Can you imagine? I think the Bible emphasizes, or Jesus is talking more about money. You know, today I'm not going to talk about money. Money can become something very important to us. Wealth can become something very important to us. That might even drive us, my friend. Even career can become something important to us, much more valuable in us, that drives our decisions, the things that we look, right? The friends that we make, because this is what I crave for and this is what I desire for. And so that drives us. So it's not just money alone. Right? It's not about possessions alone. It can be power, right? You want to climb up the career ladder. I'm not saying wrong. But the thing is that sometimes our desire, our longing, this is what I want. This is what I look for, right? And so when you look at the passage very carefully, it talks to us, do not lay up treasures and all that. It says, we live for some kind of treasure. Have you realized? We live for some kind of treasure. We value something which is important. I think when you started this year, look at your resolutions very carefully. Analyze it, right? Bisect it. And look at it very carefully. You realize that there's something that you want to live for, you desire to achieve. And it talks about you. It tells about where your priorities are. And so we are driven, right? And maybe sometimes it's the acceptance of others. We want people to accept us, right? It can be success. It can be pleasure, right? It can be so many things, just fill in the blank. And here in this context, Jesus was talking about possessions, money, because that was the number one thing that was actually, moving the people during those days. And I believe even today too, right? In my pastoral ministry, I've seen quite a lot of people, right, good Christians. God has blessed them with wealth and all that. But unfortunately, right, instead of, asking God's wisdom and guidance, they are driven because they value money more than anything else, my friend. And so this passage talks to us, we value. I was looking at an article and I was looking at this article and this man is saying, we can test where is our value by answering this, right? Have you realized sometimes we say, I have to, right? I have to do this. Or sometimes we say, I need to. I need to do. And then he also says, this man also says, I love to. I'm inspired to. The way he says, many times if we use the first two, he says, according to his study, he says, it shows that, those things are not that very important. I have to do it because, I am called to do it. I need to do it because it's my job, kind of a thing. But then he says, if you're a person, you say, I love to do it, I'm inspired, you know, to do this, and I dream of doing this, then he says that that becomes your number one priority in life. It might not be God at all. If today, if I ask you what do you value most, I think 99.9% of you will say, yes, we value God, right? But if I ask you after the church service, probably the answer would be different, right? All of us, when we come to church, we tend to answer in that way, right? I'm not saying about you, but I think general, that's the way we tend to look at it. So what happens? I think we value. And so we need to ask ourselves, you know, what is our value today? Is it success? Is it fame? Right? What is actually driving us today? Is it career? Is it position? Is it power? Is it fame? Is it acceptance? Right? What is driving you today? There's something that's actually driving us, right? That wants us to be so and so. Right? And then if you look at the passage very carefully, it says, your value or even your treasure controls you. Whatever I value, whatever I see its priority in my life, what happens? It drives me. It says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Right? It says, the desires of your heart, this makes me happy. And so what is happening? This is what I treasure. And so I will, my heart is driven. Right? I start thinking about it, right, day and night. I'm actually thinking about it. My thoughts are there, right? I want to come closer. That's why Proverbs 16:9 talks about it too, right? And that's why the Proverbs 3:5 says, you know, trust God with all your heart, because if you trust something else, it'll be dangerous. It can be disaster. That's why the wise man said very carefully, right? Trust God with all your heart, because your treasure controls you, my friend. It controls your thoughts. It controls, you know, everything that's in you. You want to come closer. And not only that, if you look at it very carefully, it says your heart. And then, have you realized, I was asking, you know, why there's a sudden jump here? Immediately, Jesus is saying, the eye is the lamb of the body. Sometimes when you look at it, there's no relationship between verses 21 and 22 and even 23. But if I look at it more carefully, there's a lot of relationship, because it talks about your conduct, right? Controls my heart. When it controls my heart, it controls my conduct. It controls my ways, my activities, my friend. For example, if you want acceptance by others, what is happening? You want to hang out with your friends, right? You want to do whatever your friends want to do, right? You want to do their habit. You want to just follow their lifestyle. Even your hairstyle will be like that. Your dressing will be like that, because you want acceptance. Because in your heart, you've already said, I want to be accepted. I wanted to be in their fold. And so what's happening? You change everything. Even the way you speak is different, because I want to be accepted. It divides your way, your activities. And that's what, you know, Jesus is saying. The way when he says the eye is the lamp. In other words, it's if you look at it, it says the eye is like a candle of the body. It's the one that shows light to the entire body. That's the way Jesus is looking at it. The light brings brightness to the room. If there is no light, there is darkness. So the eye is seen as the candle or the body of the body, my friend. And so that's what Jesus is trying to say. Right? What's driving us today, my friend? What's your value? Is it power? I'm not saying those who are studying, you know, you shouldn't study from today onwards. I'm not saying that, you know. But is that more than God? If it's money, I know sometimes, you know, I know if people in my pastoral ministry, you know, I will tell them, why did you not come to church? They said, you know, I was given an option. If I work today, I'll get 3 times. So I prefer to come, to go to work rather than come to church. Right? Because they have sufficient They have, but they still want more. They want more. He divides your ways, your conduct. If God would ask us questions today, I think He will ask us, what do you value most, my child? What is important to you? Because what is important to you drives your life, right? Your activities, your friendship. Thirdly, I think when you look at very carefully in this particular passage, Matthew chapter 6, from 19 onwards, it also tells me that treasure affects our lifestyle. When I look at that particular passage and also the passage as a whole, right, it affects our lifestyle. Not only it controls us, it also says that you cannot serve two masters. In other words, there's two ways of living. Either you serve God or you serve your value, your money, your power, your acceptance, your success. So firstly, when I look at it, I realize, you know, it is storing up in earth. In other words, treasures in earth, my friend. It's a treasure, it's a life of accumulation. If you realize, you know, Jesus using these words, the earlier verse, it says moth, he uses the word rust, and he uses the word coins. Right? I'm using different version, ESV. Right? Why? Because nowadays you don't use mothballs. Do you use it? No. Gone are the days, right? Do you use that? Yeah, I see, she used that, yeah. Let me tell you, you put mothballs around your house, those snakes will come near your house. If you put sulfur also, snakes will not come. And so what is used for mothballs? For clothing, right? We don't want silverfish to come. In those days, what was happening? They treasure, because clothing was valuable. Today, buy one, get three free, right? We don't value them much. But I know we value all the expensive ones, right? The Coach and all that. Yeah, the good ones. That's a different, yeah. So those days, that was the value of the thing. So they will always give something, maybe to, in exchange for clothing. Because clothing was important for them and is valuable. You don't have access to malls like what we're having like in those days, my friend. So that was valuable. And people saw that was important, much more important for them. Realize what did Mary, you know, gave Jesus? The alabaster oil. Because that was valuable. Today, perfume is just $19.90. You can buy it in a Shoppers Drug Mart. Right? In those days, that was valuable. She was storing it because it is almost like a year's salary. Can you imagine? And that was and that's why, you know, Jesus uses the word rust. The Greek word rust is not the rust that, you know, that's seen on the metal. It's about corn or grain. They store corn or grain because they want to have multiple supply, not only during winter time, but they want to have more. Remember the rich man said, I want to destroy my barn and build it bigger, right? So that I can store much more grain. So people were just thinking of life and just accumulating more. The me, the more, the I want more, right? It's about me. The rich man was thinking about him. He did not ever talk about others. It was more bonds, more grains, my friend. And he told to himself, you know, I can, right? I need not worry about life. And so today when you look at it, I think when Jesus talks about two masters, either, you know, it's a life of accumulations. It's about just me or more. More is better, right? And then it's also say the thieves comes in and steal. It talks about coins. It's about money. That's why if you those days, if you go to the Middle Eastern countries, try to dig something. If you're lucky enough, you will get some silver coins or even gold coins. Today we don't do that, right? We put it into the bank. We invest them. If we have more money, we will put them in offshore banking accounts. And so what's happening, right? In those days, it is different. They will always dug a hole, put it there. Man, remember Jesus was talking about the story, you know, about the talents. What did he do? He took the money, he dug a hole, he placed it there, right? And that was the way people. And so Jesus is talking about, you know, just storing up. here. It's about me, the more. Not satisfying. I think many of us, many of us in this world are not satisfied. Right? We are not satisfied with what we have. We want more. We are not satisfied with what God has blessed us. We want more. We look at our bank accounts, probably it's five figures, but we still want more. But we are not, we want more. We want more. We want more. Right? It's about me. It's about accumulating. I think that's the lifestyle that Jesus is talking about. And lastly, he's talking about another lifestyle. It's investing in eternity. It's a lifestyle of sacrifice and surrender. If you look at it very carefully in Luke chapter 12, verse 21, you see something similar. And Jesus immediately tells him, right, go sell what you possess and give it to the poor. I'm not saying that we need to sell everything and give it to the poor, because Jesus knew his heart. He knew that this man cannot leave his possessions, his wealth, his gains. And so every time you look at it very carefully, you know, the Bible talks about it. It's a life of sacrifice, giving, right? Giving. I must tell you some encouraging word. In one of our elder board meeting, right, our elder Michael is also here. I asked, right, how is our English congregation giving? I asked the elder board, what do you think they answered me? They said, it's good. It's good. We are giving. And I let me tell you, I rejoice when I heard that, right? Because I think our congregation have started giving, right? We could actually hold it back. We are giving. I think that's what God, our giving has improved. And let me tell you, and I'm really encouraged as a pastor, you know, because many of you are involved in some kind of ministry. Even the right, the four kids, I shouldn't use the word kids, young leaders, the four young leaders, they too want to be involved in ministry. That's the life of surrender, right? That's the life of sacrifice. And that's why I think that's what Jesus is wanting or even calling us. If God has blessed you with more, good. But I think my number one priority should be Christ, and God has given me this with a purpose. If God has given me a talent, wonderful, God wants me to use that talent, right, to extend God's kingdom. Right? If you look at the scriptures very carefully, you know, God blessed many people. Abraham was one of the richest men. But if you realize, he doesn't talk about his wealth. He talks about his faith. He was known as the father of faith, not the father of wealth, my friend. It's about God. It is about God, and know why God is so important in their life. So I think we need to ask ourselves, what do I value this year? Is it about just me alone? Is God in the equation or in the picture at all? Or have I forgotten him at all, totally? I think we need to start with God and say, if this is what God wants me to do, right, Lord, I want to invest. Not only my time, my money, right, my presence, my encouragement, Lord, whatever you want me to be involved, and this is what I want to give myself to. Let me finish with this. It's about David Livingstone. David Livingstone was a great missionary to Africa. And so when David Livingstone, you know, he loved Africa. He, his life was just devoted to Africa, right? He was a great missionary in Africa. So when he died, you know, what was happening? His body was brought back to England because that was the place of his birth. So his body was brought back to England and he was buried there. But very interestingly, his heart was buried in Africa in a small village, right, near a tall tree, because he loved Africa and the people respected him. His body was buried in England, but his heart was buried in Africa. Right? they dug a hole and they placed his heart there, because this man was a wonderful man. He loved the people. When I was looking, I was reading that illustration. You know, there was a question that came along with that illustration. It said, if your heart was to be buried today, right, where would it be buried? And so I think, where is your heart today? Right? Maybe our bodies might be here today. What is our heart today? Is our heart with the Lord Jesus Christ? Can we say that Jesus is my Lord and my Savior? He is my, not only my Savior who has forgiven me, but He is my Lord. He is my Master. He is the one who is going to lead me. He is the one who is going to guide me. And all my possessions or wealth or power will be just secondary. Thank God for all these things. But He is the one I treasure most. Where's your heart buried today, my friend? And where's your heart today? I believe God will ask me the same question each and every day. And I believe God is asking the same question each and every day in your life too. Let's pray. Not that God does not know the answer. He knows about us very well, my friend. I just want you to take a moment and just imagine. We just sang, the Holy Spirit, come. Right? If the Spirit of God is with us today, and He says, you know, what do you treasure most today? What is more important to you today? Be honest, be sincere, be transparent. What would be your answer to the Holy Spirit? He knows you, He knows me. He knows whether I'm giving the right answer. Everything, because by looking at our heart and our conduct, He knows. What would be your answer today? Is Jesus driving you today? Is Christ your number one prayer? Throughout this year, my friend, you're going to face a lot of decisions. It might be in your campus, it might be in your career, it might be even about money and all that. Yes, it's important decisions. But ask yourself, will that please my God? Even the campus I choose, in the career path I'm taking, will Christ be glorified? If I'm using my money for something, will that please my God? Father, we thank you because you're a God who's very relational, a God who wants to help us. And we thank you, Lord, that you have given the Holy Spirit to be our guide, to be our help. Lord, in this journey of life, O God, many a times we hear different voices. But as Christians, O God, help us to recognize your voice, to acknowledge you, O God, and to lean on to you at every moment. We want our hearts to be buried in the hands of Jesus. Our bodies might be in this world, O God, but our hearts belong to Christ. In Jesus' name we